2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. There had been some false teaching in Thessalonica, and Paul is trying to straighten some of this false teaching out. That's what's going on here. In verse 3 it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you now as humbly as we know how, realizing that if anything is to be accomplished, you must be involved in the whole process. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd cleanse my heart of anything that might hinder this service, that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit and use me to bring honor to you. I pray for those who are sitting out there getting ready to listen to a message. I pray, Lord, that they'd have a willing heart to let you be the ruler of their life. So I ask your blessings now on this service and what is to follow. We ask your hand to be upon it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are several things in these verses that we would want to point out, but there's not enough time for all that. But I noticed that one of the things in here has to do with the devil. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And it says, for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God is not the only one that sends a strong delusion. And in this portion of scripture is dealing with he's talking about the rapture of the church and the fact that, God is going to send us a strong delusion, You'll have to give me space, I guess. We know the devil is a liar. He was a liar from the very beginning, and he is real good at that stuff now. Matter of fact, he's one that today is sending out strong delusions. In the scriptures here, it talks about about God sending a strong delusion. But the scriptures talks about Jesus or Satan with his different devices that he uses, with these snares, these traps, and we have to realize that we're fighting against a supernatural being that has a lot has greater abilities and is smarter than what we are. And the only hope that we have is to put ourselves under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and let Him fight our battles for us. I noticed that in the Scriptures that the devil has many names. Well, that's pretty much like any criminal, isn't it? Because they always have the aliases, you know. Well, he has some too, the devil, Satan, deceiver of the world, the great dragon, the old serpent over in the book of Revelation, the accuser of the brethren, Apollyon, Abaddon, he has a bunch of them, Beelzebub. So he presents himself in different ways to different people, depending on what he wants to accomplish in their particular life. So the falling away in this particular story, it mentions up there that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. We're just about ready to have the rapture take place. I don't have a date or anything like that. I just believe that we'll always be looking for the Lord to come back. And I know that Satan, during this time, is going to do his best to destroy the church. And the preacher is teaching on the Baptist distinctives. And Lord knows we need to know what we believe concerning God's church, don't we? Because it's something that a lot of people don't. Most people, they have a kind of a humdrum belief system about the church that could include just about every church. And that's what they try to do, is to be all-inclusive. But in the delusions that Satan is doing now to the Christians and to the church in general, first of all, he's sending the delusion that you can have success without sacrifice. Now, I know that doesn't sound too exciting, but the truth of the matter is that we are living in a society now where sacrifice is almost non-existent. Because most people they don't want to sacrifice anything. But I find in the Scriptures that God is expecting Christians to be sacrificial. Sacrificial in their giving, sacrificial in their livelihood, and the way they live within the church. But Satan's delusion is that you can have success without sacrifice. It's tragic today, but we see it in our politics. We see it in so many different areas where where people are not willing to sacrifice anything in order to be successful. But the truth is, the only way that you can be successful in any area of your life, whether it's in the Christian life or whether it's in business or whatever, there is a necessity of this thing we call sacrifice, willing to go above and beyond the call. That individual who wants to start a business. He doesn't come in at 8 in the morning and at 5 o'clock out. That's the guy that is going to be there an hour or two early, get his day lined out so that his people that comes in, he'll have something for him to do, something to be producing. And then he's the last one to leave, probably a couple hours later on. Because sacrifice, if you're going to be successful, is important. Sinning without suffering is another thing. If all you have to do, I guess, would be to talk to David, King David, or some of the others that have fallen in this trap of sin, and realize that there is always a price to pay when you sin against God. Sin without suffering is a non-existent. Our hospitals are full of people who have gone that route. And I'm not implying that everyone in the hospital, you know, is there because of sin, unless you want to go back to the original sin. And jails, these are all testimony to the fact that you cannot sin without suffering. There's going to be a payday in those things. I looked at the different people in the Bible that has gone through similar things. I see the rich man in Luke 16 that died and went to hell. His whole life was spent on himself, and finally he paid the price. Another delusion is that you cannot have salvation without surrender. Now, religious profession it's just not coming through for me. Okay, I know what you're doing. You're praying for me, and I need it right now. Delusions that you can have salvation without sacrifice. There we go. Titus 1:15. You cannot have salvation without a total surrender. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God looks at your heart, and He expects you to yield your will to His in order to have salvation. Total surrender. I've seen young people who have come forward with chewing gum in their mouth and not really concerned about, and I'm not throwing off on young people, they're precious. But I've seen people who have come to the altars with an attitude of just, I'm going to go through the motions here because there's people who are, you know, getting on me, and I want to just get that out of the road. And so they come and make a profession, but it's not from the heart. It's not a matter of the surrender of the heart. And so you cannot have salvation without a total surrender. And then you can't have service without the Holy Spirit. You know, when a person is born again by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit comes to take up their abode in I take up His abode in their heart. And the important thing to understand is that without the Spirit of God, there cannot be any service to God. We need God's power in our life in order to have a successful ministry or a successful life as a Christian. I look in John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, we have the story of the vine and the branches. And he says here, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye that are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me and I in you. And as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself accepted, abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. And so the scripture is plain that to serve God, back over in the book of Amos, there's a course of scripture there that gives you the idea of what God thinks of people who try to serve God without the Spirit of God. You see, there's a lot of people without that have never trusted Christ as their Savior that thinks that as long as they're doing good, or sufficient to satisfy God. But here's what God thinks about that. For the nation of Israel had backslid on God. But what they were doing was going through the normal day's rituals. And so they were still acting like they were serving God. But here's what God thinks about it. I'm reading verse 21 of the book of Amos in chapter 5. And he says, I hate, those are pretty strong words, I hate, I despise your feast days. And I will not smell your solemn assemblies. And though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. And neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. And he says, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Here's a people who thought they could sneak one over on God, so to speak. And they were going through all the motions, but the truth of the matter is, they were not serving God, and all it did was anger God. And it cost them dearly because of it. So you cannot serve God without the Holy Spirit. You're here today and you know Christ as your Savior. Understand that serving God, requires the Spirit of God to do the work of God. You as an individual, you may have talent. You know, you can maybe like me. I started out when I was just a little guy doing all these paintings. And as I got older, I started doing more of this stuff. But the truth of the matter is that no matter how good I would be, without God's hand upon it, without the Spirit of God working in it, it means absolutely nothing. And so it's important for us to keep that thought in mind. And then the final thought is that you can't love without showing it. There's there are some scriptures I guess we could go to and that would back that all up. But I'm not going to go to those. But the important thing is simply this. Love demands action. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's just a simple thing. God expects us, if we're going to love him and say we love him, and then he expects something as a result to show forth that love. And I'm trusting that this week that we'll get a better hang of the thoughts that I'm trying to get across. And we'll see God do something here in spite of me. And tonight we'll be doing this first chalk drawing. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to take whatever feeble effort was made forth here this evening, this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to that heart. There may be someone here that needs to know you as their personal Savior. I pray they might come and realize that without you, that they're nothing. So I pray that you'd work in the hearts of each individual here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.